welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carla Bezal. Can you believe it? Oh my god, my voice is back. My voice is back! That was really loud, and I just saw, like, the whole soundbar blow out, but it doesn't matter, because, baby, I'm back. And not just in the throatal region, because I am physically back. I just got home from Walt Disney World, which is something I said into this mic. Well, I basically whispered that into the mic a couple weeks ago, because I have now been to Disney World 2 weeks out of four. I've basically spent half a month at Disney World, which for anybody else would be extreme. For me, I'm kind of like, all right, buddy, I'm on the horse. I'm ready. So I'm going to be home for two more weeks, and then I'm going to go to Disney World. And when I don't go to Disney World in 3 weeks, I'm going to feel quite upset because I sure enjoy spending a lot of time there. A friend today asked me, oh, are you like totally sick of Disney World now? And I was like, no, I was realizing while I was there that I don't like being there and not knowing when I'm coming back. And I know a lot of you know what that feels like, which is why today we are going to get into basically just like a lot of hot takes I have and things I haven't really mentioned on the podcast yet, because I know we've talked a lot about Disney World lately. Guess what? There's more. There's always more, because there's a lot of stuff that I really learned about myself and how I visit and how I want to visit in the future from this trip. And I really want to get into it. I just love it there. I don't know, man. I just love it there. I posted a dumb video being like Disney World, like Disney adults, like this is what it is like to like, I'm phrasing this horribly. This is what it's like to enjoy a sports team, only like our finals are every single day. And the fact that we happen to love something that's open 365 days a year, we are so lucky. We are so lucky that the only thing keeping us from there is like finances and responsibilities. Because a lot of times, you know, if you're a Knicks fan, you waited 4 bajillion years for them to get to the finals. For us, Disney's always there. It's always there. The only thing that stopped it was COVID. And for Florida, it didn't even stop it for that long. So we are just very lucky. I'm feeling very lucky and appreciative that I love something that is, I mean, accessible question mark in many ways of the word. But we are going to get into it this week. We're going to talk about admission types. We're going to talk about shocking food reveals. We're going to talk about truly like hot takes about things I never, ever thought I would say out loud. And I can't wait to get into it. So stick around. It's going to be wonderful. And also, depending on when you're listening to this, there is a new segment with Becky right after this about discounts. And we are going to talk about discounts in the episode. But like, truly, like, these, like, the discounts that they roll out, they go quick these days. Like, do not miss them. It is a great way to save money. We're going to get into it in the main episode, too. So stick around. It's another Disney World joint. Woo! Becky!
Carly!
It's so nice to have you back. I'm great. I'm great. I'm going back and forth to Disney World like it's a commute. How are you?
You're spending more time on planes than I am right now, which is nice. I just got back from LA. I get to be homeward bound for just a little while so I can pull all this stuff together that we've been learning and seeing and reporting on. And I got to tell you, it's so fun. If you've never even like taken a look behind the velvet curtain over here, it is so much fun to help people with their vacations. I cannot tell you how much it feeds your soul to talk to people about such a happy, wonderful experience in their life. It's great. So let's start with one of my very favorites. You know what it is? It's Walt Disney World, where we have save up to 30% off rooms in late summer and early fall. So that was just released not too long ago. And those are for arrivals from July 30th to October 3rd. You can save up to 30% on 5 or more nights and 25% for stays of 1 to 4 nights. Florida residents can save up to 35%. And here's the kicker for those who want to go now. There are still savings up to 30% for select stays from now until July 29th.
Ooh, so if I come back and I'm like, I gotta get back, take me back.
Turn right around and just book yourself again or call us and we'll take care of that for you and you'll be able to stay. They also have a couple other things going too. Ticket only offers, they've got two right now, the special one park after 2 p.m. through July 29th and a special 4-day four starting at $109 per day. And that's from May 26th to September 26th. And obviously 2026 free dining all the time for kids 3 to 9 in their packages. So feed your kids for free in 2026 for Walt Disney World.
Yeah, because you know, I know how annoying it is to spend $12 on macaroni and cheese and nobody eats. Frustrating.
Disney Cruise Line, they have an interesting little offer that's kind of going on, which is save up to 30% on select sailings. Now, this is a changing, fluid offer that changes on a weekly basis. And looking at it today, they have that savings if you're sailing from Fort Lauderdale in July, October, and November, sailing from Port Canaveral from July through November. If you want to hop over to the UK, Southampton, they have great deals in September. From San Diego, they've got this deal going for dates in October. And one of the ones that just blew my mind was they even have Alaska dates for this year where you can save up to 30% off from July through September. So if you haven't decided what you're going to do this summer through September, this is a deal worth looking at.
And don't forget, if you are, listen, I understand some of us are hesitant to call 747 Churros and things like that. If you are like, oh, I don't know if I want to reach out to a travel agent, I don't know what I'm doing. Don't forget, bookmeicruise.com is where you can go to kind of check out the prices yourself and actually work with an agent afterwards. And you can just kind of, it's the best of both worlds. You can just take a little peek.
It really is. Especially if you're like me at midnight, I'm sitting there going, yes! I think I want to check and see what this is going to be like. No agency is going to be open for you. Go to bookmeicruise.com and you can look it up yourself. You can see the cabins. You can see the offers. You can see the deals. It's not just from Disney. It's from almost every single cruise line across the board. You can hold it. You can book it. We'll contact you the next day and say, hey, how can we help you plan?
Yep. And the best part is you will help us choose rooms and you know all the secrets about where to go.
Exactly. And if you've, you know, maybe made the wrong selection, don't worry. We can help change that for you.
Just the best. Thank you so much, Becky. Welcome back. We, of course, are talking about the trip I just got back from. To refresh your memory, in case you don't listen to this every week on the day it comes out on Wednesdays, also like, what are you listening to on your drives? Music? Ew. In case you haven't been listening lately, I, a few weeks ago, did also go to Disney World. That was a work trip. I brought my child on that. My mom met us there. We stayed at Disney's Port Orleans Riverside. You know how I feel about that. It feels in the podcast. And it was a work trip. So we did a lot of new stuff, a lot of rides, prioritized all the work I had to do. This trip, if you hear a clank clank in the background, that is me just declawing, taking off all my jewelry that makes noise in the background during this episode, because I should do this off mic. But honestly, I'm very envious of those podcasters who are like sitting on a couch with a microphone. And to me, like, I want to just channel that energy of being chill. I like to stand when I record. I feel more alert when I'm sitting. I kind of slouch and I kind of fall asleep. So I stand, but I'm also wearing so much jewelry and it gets picked up in the background. So I'm taking that off. So this is my version of sitting on a couch. Just, ooh, getting comfy, wearing comfy shoes. I'm wearing sneakers. Just taking off my jewelry. Okay. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. This trip was pure vacation. And even though I travel for a living, I rarely end up going to Disney World on vacation. There's usually a work element to it. Even if I add a day here and there, even if I do love what I do, and I love to go to Disney World almost more than anywhere else in the world, it is always a work trip. It is rarely pure vacation. And this was pure vacation because I got my husband to go back to Disney World for the first time in about 4 years. The last time he was there was when he caved when I was pregnant and wanted like a mini baby moon. We basically like planned like a mini baby moon. And then there was, if you remember a few years ago, there was really severe weather in Florida. I mean, there obviously has been multiple times, but that was maybe severe weather in like February, March, something like that. No, because I wouldn't have been pregnant. That's when I had a baby. Remember how time works, which is going to come up in this episode. Basically, long story short, maybe it was the fall, must have been the fall. There was weather, we had to cancel our trip, and then we ended up going back and then did a little redo for a mini baby moon. We went to Orlando, and it was the last time he had been there, so it was about 4 years ago. Because it was vacation, because we were there kind of for Ben's job, Noah's tour, as you guys know, kicked off in Orlando on my birthday when I saw the tour routing, because we basically planned our entire summer travel and all of my work around, all of our, both of our works around the tour. When I first saw the routing, I was like, cool, so you're fully going to Disney World. Like, sorry, you have no excuse. My birthday, first night of tour, is happening. So we planned this whole trip around that. We were there for about a week. It was wonderful. And as you probably know by now, which I've posted a little bit online by now, by the time you listen to this, but We stayed at the Four Seasons Resort Orlando at Walt Disney World Resort, which is something I say delicately because it is a no-brainer to be like, wow, I had an incredible stay at the Four Seasons. Like, yeah, you bet I did. It's the freaking Four Seasons. It's basically my favorite hotel on planet Earth. It is wonderful. It is Disney and it is luxury and it is great. And while I do have a couple things that I will get into about it because I do think there are some perks to staying with at Disney, at Disney World, at a proper Disney-operated hotel. I talked about this a lot on Subscribers last week, but I'm going to talk about it here also. It is exceptional. It is exceptional to be somewhere where, like, there's a concierge and there's a tablet in the room and you can schedule room service delivery and you can, anything you need, you let them know. I was like, what do you mean there's a whole menu on this tablet? I ordered a body pillow. I got to sleep with my body wrapped around like a 6-foot pillow tube. It was awesome. I mean, it's just like a nice hotel is unlike anything else. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If I was not doing this, I would likely be fully reviewing luxury hotels, period. Like that's all I would be doing because I have so many thoughts about them and I can be in them and I'll be wowed, but I'll still be like, there's not enough lighting in this closet. Like I just have this little like this brain that just really hones in and critiques things. And I just love doing it. And it was wonderful. I mean, shocker. But that's not what we're talking about this week. That's not why this isn't a traditional recap episode. Because if it was, it would basically be like, we went to the park and then we came back and we were at the hotel and the hotel was great. And that's not what we need in this episode. We will talk about it a bit. I will be making a lot of social media videos, but I more so just kind of wanted to focus on the fact that I went to Disney World for half the month. Half the month. Do you remember there was a time when I was like pregnant and had a baby and I didn't go to Disney World for like almost a year? No, we are in the thick of it. And I have so much to say about it. I have a lot of hot takes, but just from the jump, I want to let you know a little bit more about our trip from, you know, the macro view, kind of like the Space 220, but when you're leaving the restaurant, when you descend. Like I said, I was at Disney World for a week, which is a lot for me when there is not a work trip associated with it. We went to all four parks, which we will get into, and we spent a lot of time balancing between the hotel and the parks. Typically, if I am there, my mom was there, my husband was there, my daughter was there, and I was there. And typically, if it's me and my mom especially, but also me and my mom and Pearl, we will be running and gunning it to the theme parks because that is what we do. That is what we like to do the most, more than anything, truly. But because Ben was with us and we didn't really want to, you know, torture him, to be honest, because that's how I tend to be, we spent a lot more time at the hotel than I usually would. And it was interesting because it was just naturally a different type of trip because of that. Now, I don't often like reference what I post on Instagram Subscribers that much, but before we get into it, I just want to talk about this from the jump because I think it's very, very important. So a few people were asking me similar questions. They're basically asking me like, what is the difference between Four Seasons and a Disney hotel? Like what is the absolute perk of staying at Four Seasons? Like how do these two different beasts compare? And basically, to reiterate what I said there, because I do think it needs to be said here, is that Four Seasons is a luxury hotel. If you need anything at any time, they got you. Like, you can basically order any food and they will make it for you. You can text them and they will take care of it. Like, I scheduled a cappuccino to be delivered to me in honor of my birthday at a specific time in the morning. Like, it is just a high, high, high standard of quality. And how a Four Seasons Resort Orlando compares with a Disney Deluxe Hotel is that Disney Deluxe Hotels are really, in my opinion, luxury and brand only. Like, you don't have a concierge. You don't have additional access to the restaurants at your hotel if you're a paid guest there. And I've talked about this a lot, especially about the Poly. Like, if you're staying at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort, you should have access to the tiki bar. Like, you should have better access to these locations than people who are just coming in. And the fact that you don't, to me, beyond like the 60-day booking window, well, not even for that because it's different, like you should have better access to the things at the hotel you are staying at, which you absolutely do not. There's also the bedding. The Four Seasons bed is so nice that my mom is trying to buy one. Like, just the absolute most comfortable, the pillows. It was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. And like at a Disney World hotel, my Magic Kingdom for a comforter. Give me a duvet. You know what I mean? It's not, why? Why just a sheet? Why do they have the same bedding setup as my overnight camp in Wisconsin? Like, there just needs to, there's none of those touches, even in a hotel room that you could be paying $900 for a night. And what really surprised me about this trip is that there are a lot of perks to Four Seasons Resort Orlando, obviously, but the Disney parks perks that you get with Disney hotels is actually pretty good. We did not have the 7-day Lightning Lane booking window for our trip that you traditionally have when you stay with Disney, and we felt it. It was a lot harder to book our Lightning Lanes. I couldn't even purchase a Tron Lightning Lane in advance. I could only purchase, we had different ticket types, which we will talk about, but like I could barely get a Guardians. Like it was very, very complicated to get our Lightning Lanes during summer, during a busy time, only 3 or so days out because we were traditional guests. And while Four Seasons Resort does have early morning entry, we're not using that because we're from the West Coast. For me, the big perk of like a Disney hotel or a Disney deluxe hotel, the best benefit are those deluxe evening extended hours. Because while most people, the vast majority of people, do kind of want to get there early and take advantage of that half an hour, but that is a perk available to many hotels. What, like 25, maybe even 30 hotels when you count all of the third party hotels, the Swan, the Dolphin, things like that, all the other hotels, all the Disney Springs area hotels, all of those. But if we're talking that Disney Deluxe perk, the fact that you basically have an after hours party in a theme park a couple nights a week, if it works for your schedule, that is a massive, like a massive, massive benefit, to the point where there was one night where it looked like it wasn't going to, but like, you know, in my head, I was like, oh, we can make it work, where we can make a deluxe evening, extended evening hour benefit, which by the way, if you're not familiar, is 2 hours at night and select nights at select parks where you can go to the park and there's like basically nobody there. It's basically empty. It's absolutely wild. I was considering buying a secondary hotel room just to gain access to that, because that secondary hotel room would have been a comparable price to us getting like an after hours event ticket. It was, my experience at these deluxe events have been that good where I just think they're incredible. And I was a little sad that we didn't get it. And there is a lot of Disney magic at a Disney hotel. You get like characters that just appear out of nowhere, which is something they've been adding more, which I think is fantastic. Having transportation right there to a park, non-bus transportation, put a pin in that. We're going to loop back on it. That is really, really special. The cast members also are always incredible. And like the theming is fantastic. But when you were truly on a vacation, something like, I mean, again, I'm like, oh, it's like the sky is blue, the sun is bright, Four Seasons rocks. Like there's really not much more I can tell you about it here, but it really, there, even without the, you know, the Lightning Lane, even with the Lightning Lane difficulties, it was fantastic. And that's not even a hot take, because we have 18 of them lined up for this episode. And I think we should just kick it off, because I spent so much time in Disney World, I can't wait to tell you about it. The first thing we got to talk about, I love Epcot without a festival. I love Diet Epcot, as many people call it. To feel emptiness, Morty's knocking on, I can hear Morty scratching at the door because he's like, yeah, get me in on this. I also love empty Epcot. Do you know how nice it is to be in a theme park you love and that theme park feels empty? Blissful. And this is obviously coming from somebody who calls Disneyland Resort home, where everything is jammed. Like you are fully jammed in every walkway, unless it's a random day where there happens to be not a lot of people there, which doesn't really happen anymore anyway. But to be at World Showcase and go, ha, and to really be able to move freely is fantastic. And it's obviously it's a written fact that I do not love a festival. I'm not a festival girly. However, even if you do love a festival, I feel like you gotta recognize that like having more easy breezy move around space at Epcot where you can like focus on the actual things that are there and not be distracted by like a tiny plate of food, it is so lovely. It is so lovely. And I've mentioned this before, but like not having to worry about being around drunk people when you are at a Disney theme park is fantastico. It is really, really nice because I do not like that feeling of being fully sober, walking around being like, I don't like that. And here was just, and I know that means there's a little less entertainment, but we actually saw a lot of characters out, which feels like it kind of filled that void. And there was a ton to do. And it was just a lovely, lovely time to be in Epcot sans festival. It was just a really good feeling. Number two of a thing I gotta talk about. There's really nothing like non-bus transportation to a park. There's really nothing like it. Staying near Epcot, Hollywood Studios, in that circle of Boardwalk, Beach Club, Yacht Club, Swan, Dolphin, Swan Reserve, being there and being able to boat or walk over to either of those parks, mwah, impeccable. Being off the monorail and going to the Magic Kingdom, fantastic. Taking a boat to Magic Kingdom, also great. I mean, I'm always going to go with the monorail when I can, but having a non-bus transportation where you're in a themed environment to get to the park is great. And I do feel similarly about Skyliner. That's why I would rather stay at Disney's Caribbean Beach than Port Orleans Riverside, because you have Skyliner access. Like, I think Skyliner access is huge, but Skyliner access is always a little, like, I always feel like you never know. You never know if you're going to get held. Also, can we just talk about, like, I don't like the, okay, so when you take the Skyliner and you're heading to Epcot and you pass the Riviera and you have like the little switchback at the Riviera and then there's this other switchback right before you pass over like Epcot France and kind of like boardwalk. I don't like that. And like every time my mom is worried about it and every time I'm like, mom, we're not, like, everything's fine. We're just like pulling into the station and pulling out. It still stresses me out. I don't know why it always stresses me out when you're like going through, you know, that curve, you know, that turn. I don't like it. I love the Skyliner, but I don't like that little moment. I don't like that moment. But yeah, basically staying somewhere where it was all bus twice in a row. I mean, we weren't going to Disney Springs, so the boat for Port Orleans is moot. Being bus or minivan for the whole trip. I do miss being close to the park and just getting a taste. Being able to dip back in so easily is incredible. And we were kind of vehicle bound the entire time, which can be a deterrent to getting back to the park later at night or going another time, and just really made me appreciate how big of a perk it can be to be so close to the parks. Again, Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin, this is why I love them, because I think it's a really good middle ground between a real hotel, which Four Seasons is a real hotel that operates like a proper hotel that has things you may need, which we'll talk, again, there's more of that coming soon, and having the Disney magic because you are right there. Now, this trip, as I said, was vacation. And so we prioritized a lot of vacation over running and gunning it and theme parks. And while theme parks are always the highlight of my visit to Orlando, putting the vacation back into vacation was pretty good too. We took it quite easy most days of this trip. And while it did cause me to fully crash out more than once, I always have a secret itinerary. My itinerary, I had one night that was like, leave this night open for if Carly is short-circuiting and needs to just get a theme park fix. I did not get to go to the theme park that night, which means that on my birthday, as you know, I went to Epcot for 35 minutes because I just needed a little taste. I needed a little more. But some of our best memories were just the time we spent at the pool. And I know the lore of Disney World is like the kids love the pool more than the parks, but I actually had a lot of fun at the pool too. I didn't expect it. I think one of the highlights of our entire trip was when Pearl and I went swimming at night. We were planning on going in the afternoon, but there was weather, so we had to wait. And we like had dinner, we hung out, and then the weather cleared and she looked out the window and was like, oh, I think we can go swimming. And so I called them and they're like, the pool's open till 9, you're good. And so at like 8:15 at night, we went, or it must've been a little earlier, because we went down to the pool, we saw sunset, we ended up swimming once the sun was down, and it was just so lovely. Like, the time we spent at the hotel was lovely. I always view a hotel as secondary. It's always like the parks and then the place I crash is secondary to that. And it was just so nice to spend time there. Now, we were at a glorious hotel. Again, Four Seasons, just being there is like an exhale. But I do feel this way for a lot of the Disney hotels because they are really an extension of the magic. We had a little time left over on our final day and I was like, what should we do? And the only thing I craved was taking the monorail around the Magic Kingdom resort area hotels because it really is an extension of the magic. Those Disney hotels really are special. And I think prioritizing more time at the hotel is something I'm going to do in the future, even on a shorter trip, because just having those few hours to really soak up that different kind of Disney magic, a calmer Disney magic at your hotel, I think is really special. And for people who like have a bunch of kids and go to the pool all the time, you know what I'm talking about, but I'm not a sit by the pool person. I don't want to lay on a lounge chair. I don't even want to do that at the hotel we were at. I don't like sitting, but just having a little time in the water and chilling out to balance our theme park day. Like, we basically only went to the park mid-morning to early afternoon. They were short bursts. Even on our most packed day, we left mid-morning and then we got back mid-afternoon. And it really was so nice to have that mid-afternoon through evening gap to be able to just do other stuff and recharge for the parks. I know I've changed and it took a lot of time to get me there, but vacationing on vacationing was pretty good. And while I did say this online, I strongly believe this to be true, that the best part of your trip will not be what you have a lightning lane for. However, what I have not said is that the interactive experiences you book might actually be. Let me explain. We went on a lot of rides and had a lot of memories made on these attractions, but we didn't walk away going, wow, all of us riding Frozen Ever After together was the highlight of our trip. Not at all. But the things I keep thinking about as like the best parts of this past week, some of those were meals. And not just because of the food, because they were special meals. We had two sit-down meals, one at Beer Garden in Epcot, fantastic, and another at Cinderella's Royal Table. Oh yeah, we went big this trip and we did both of them. And I do feel like each of those, while very different, Beer Garden is a buffet with live music and a show. Cinderella's Royal Table is table service restaurant in Cinderella Castle in Magic Kingdom with princesses. Couldn't be more different, but both were so special because they weren't just meals. Like on our first trip to Disney World this month, we had dinner at 50's Primetime, which is a lot of people's favorite restaurant. And it was fine. It was totally fine. We had a good meal. It was a long day, so we were pretty tired, but like, it was a totally fine experience. But to me, it wasn't the heightened experience of either of these restaurants. And it's not just that there were characters at one of them. It was really that they got us like up and moving and interacting, like being able to eat at Beer Garden and get up and dance and play. That was so fun. And that's something that is sometimes missing from the Disney experience. As you know, one of the most successful and best parts of Cool Kids Summer is that they have these interactive dance parties where you can move around and like physically be a part of the stuff happening at Disney World. And it made that Beer Garden meal so special that all of us were up and dancing and then watching music and being able to like, I don't know, like touch the arts while you're at a meal is really special. And while Cinderella's Royal Table is not my favorite restaurant by any means, I did have the best meal of my trip there, which I'm floored by. I kind of pieced together, you guys know I have a lot of tummy issues, and they had stuff on the menu that worked for me, but it wasn't all one dish. So I was like, is it possible to get this salmon, but with like this vegetable and this side? I think it was like rice and asparagus. And they were like, I think we can talk to the chef and do that. It was so good. The salmon was so good, so well cooked. Like it was shockingly good at Cinderella's Royal Table. I find that restaurant to be quite chaotic. The seating is also beautiful or garbage. We were sitting garbage. We were in the sides where it's very dark, where it's like weirdly dark, like you're in a waiting room. And then the middle is like beautifully well lit from the windows. But everyone we encountered was so lovely. It was just like, it was a really, really nice experience. And we hadn't been to a princess dine. We were planning to go to Akershus. Oh God, I hope I'm saying that right. Akershus at Epcot. Again, a princess meal. We were unable to go because it was the end of our trip and it just, toddler stuff didn't happen. So we went to this. This is Pearl's first princess meal. And it was just kind of, It was such a nice experience and such a memorable time, specifically because she encountered princesses she's never spoken to. She didn't know who Merida was when we got there, but then later that week, we ended up watching part of Brave and she loved it. And I love that her entry point into these films was just meeting the princess and being like, she seems fun. What's her deal? And that's what Cinderella's Royal Table gave us. We didn't get that from a ride. And while we had a great time on rides, it wasn't like a mind-blowing entry into cinematic art. And so for us, those two were really, really worth it. Like the best part of your trip won't be Lightning Lane, but some of the other stuff you book might actually be the highlight. And speaking of, I gotta say, there's nothing I love more than having a stupid routine at Disney World. A stupid little gag routine at Disney World. Because I've joked many times that my child will only have her hair cut at Walt Disney World, at Harmony Barbershop on Main Street, USA. Because yeah, there's a barbershop inside the Magic Kingdom. And it's the only place my child has ever had her hair cut. She's almost 3 and a half. That's tricky to line up. Her hair's growing real fast. But nope, she's had two haircuts in her life and both of them, boom, have been at the Magic Kingdom. That was something I booked 60 odd days out. I was determined to keep this dumb gag alive. And so far we've made it. We're gonna make it to probably at least 4 years with her only haircuts being inside Disney's Magic Kingdom. And I think it's so funny. I just think it's funny. I think it's funny to have like a dumb little routine that you always stick with. For me, now I have my Joffrey's order locked in, ready to go. I gotta get a Joffrey's. If I can, I bring one back to the hotel room. Like, I gotta get me a Joffrey's. For me, it's funny to me that like, if I'm there, I got a Joffrey's in my hand. And I just can treat myself to that. I'm treating myself to that $6-ish cup of joy. It's just so fun. It's just so fun to have a stupid little gag. And yeah, she got her haircut again. Harmony Barbershop. They're running a tight ship there, let me tell you. Because what's the wildest thing to me is that I'd never been in there until I had a kid. You walk in and you're like, hi, I have an appointment. And it's not like a restaurant where they pull it up and, you know, there's like 15 names lined up for like all the dinner reservations. It's like name. No, dude. It's basically like tic-tac-toe. It's like a freaking quad square. And do they have one appointment, what, every 15 minutes? Like, there's no availability because there's literally nothing. There's like nothing available. There was like this big sheet of paper with squares. And I think it was just like they crossed one of the squares off and that was us. And there were only a few squares left. It is a wild reservation game to get in there. But we did it. I booked it early enough. It worked out great. It only took like 10 minutes, which was fun. Pearl behaved wonderfully. Not like she's misbehaved, but like, you know, you always worry if like, I don't want them to cry. I don't want her to be stressed. Like she's a sensitive soul and I love her and I adore her. And she did great. And it was so fun. And like to have that memory and to see her face. And at the end, they like put so much glitter in her hair and it was chonky glitter. I'm talking like confetti. I don't know. It's not the same as when you get pixie dusted at Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, which is something we do at Disneyland where you walk in and you're like, can we please be pixie dusted? And then they'll put some glitter in your hair and it's just thin little glitter. No, it was like New Year's Eve confetti and it's still in her hair. I've washed her hair a million times since. It's still in there and it's fun. A little take home souvenir. I don't mind it. But it was like chonky. And so they put all this in and then they show them the mirror and you get to see her. You get to see your kid look in the mirror and be like, wow, my hair. Brilliant. For like 10 minutes. Fantastic. It was so joyful. And I love that I have made this happen simply because I have a dumb gag where she has to get her hair cut there. And I just got to tell you guys another hot take. When Disney World has a discount, pounce, okay? Pounce on it. And I'm going to give you two reasons why. One, for this trip, my mom and I have annual passes. We're there all the time. But Ben and Pearl don't. I don't buy hard tickets a lot. And every time I do, I'm gobsmacked by what they cost. It is a lot of money. I have an annual pass, so I just pay one. I pay one time and I go, ooh, that hurt. And then I don't think about it again for an entire calendar year. It's one bad day and then everything is fine. It's like doing taxes, which is something I don't do because I'm too stupid to do it and my husband is smart. So it's just one bad day. One bad day when you buy an annual pass. But the tickets are expensive. You all know this. So when I went to buy their tickets, and it's especially painful when you have a three-year-old because it's like, you were free 100 days ago. Like, you were free a couple, you were just free. You were free a second ago. But I bought them the four-day ticket deal, which they currently have. It's a four-day ticket. You get admission to one park each day. And everybody's saying like, oh, it's $109 per day. It starts at $109 per day. But you know what I found out? In the middle of this trip, do you know what I found out? It's actually less than that now. I'm gonna look it up just to make sure nothing changed since when I looked at this 2 days ago, but the ticket deal is now $99. $99 per person per day, which is bonkers. This is now saying $109 per day, but I swear I saw it. Hold on. I swear I saw it for $99. I took screenshots because I knew that I hadn't seen that before. Was it a mistake? No, they're just not advertising it. Okay. So here's the deal. I am right. Disney is not. The pricing on this ticket is actually lower than Disney is telling you. That is why I'm like, guys, plan your trip. Okay, so there's this deal. You've probably heard of Becky and I've talked about it. It's from $109 per day. You get access to one theme park a day. When we bought it for June, it was more than $109 per day. It was, I think, Ben and Pearl's tickets started on different days. So I think it was like $115 for each day for her and maybe like $120 something each day for him. But here's the deal. This offer, and like I should have fact checked this, but I'm just going with vibes. This offer is now through September 26th, which I didn't think was happening. This four-day magic ticket deal is now all the way through like deep into almost proper Halloween season. But it is, what, 6 or 7 weeks of actual theme park Halloween season. And once you get into like September 9th through, what is this, 22nd, September 9th through 22nd, this ticket is $99.75 a day, which means that if you are getting a four-day ticket, it is going to be $399 a person. That is the lowest it's going to be, and that is bonkers that they have that now for September. They also have it, this $100 range is also August 11th. On select dates, August 11th through August 28th, like absolutely wild. If your school starts late, you can do a like a grab and go quick trip for a very, very affordable price. And even though ours was on actually the most expensive range of this ticket from what I can see, it was still cheaper for me to buy Ben a four-day magic ticket than a proper three-day one park per day ticket. Like that's how good of a deal this ticket is. And I'm telling you this because we saved hundreds of dollars just by planning our trip around this ticket instead of just being like, we might want a park hopper. Like, we might want to go to Epcot twice. By using this ticket, we saved hundreds of dollars. And that was only for two people. Like, this goes through September. You can easily plan a trip around this and spend way less than you were anticipating. When you pair that with some of the hotel deals they have, guys, just like, don't miss out. I don't want you to miss out because I'm always like, I'm just feeling like I can see the future. And like once a bunch of new stuff opens and these parks are like super busy and like maybe international travel goes back to what it used to be, they're not going to have deals like this. Like we got to pounce on these. And that doesn't just go for people who need tickets. This also goes for people like me, annual pass holders, because they currently have during summer this special 40% off select restaurants on weekdays for a limited time. I'll give you all the dates in a second, but for a limited time, you get 40% off select restaurants and the savings will blow your friggin' mind. It's wild because I need to make a video about this because there's so much Disney noise lately. There's so many news. There's like Savannah Bananas and there's rides and there's videos. Like there's so much happening that it's really hard to grasp this stuff when it does happen. But there are these things. There's like VIP pass holder summer days, which I usually see and I'm like, great, they're gonna give me a magnet. I'm not a magnet person. I don't mind. Nah. There are such good perks. Okay. So Monday through Thursday, May 1st through July 31st. We need to have about five more weeks, but if you were going during the summer, listen up. Monday to Thursday, if you have lunch at Beer Garden, lunch or dinner at Garden Grill, character meal, dinner at Tiffin's, lunch or dinner at Tusker House, character meal, Cape May Cafe dinner, which I don't think dinner is a character meal, Toledo dinner, Whispering Canyon Cafe, brunch and dinner, Hollywood and Vine, character meal, any time of day, you get 40% off. And I used this on both of my trips. We went to Tusker House for lunch. And then on this trip, we went to Beer Garden for lunch. And you will get the bill and you will lose your freaking mind. Because I swear, my mom, Pearl, and I went to Tusker House for lunch, character meal, incredible food. Our bill was a little over $100 for three people to eat really good food, all you can eat, and meet characters. And then we went to Beer Garden, which again, all you can eat, really great food, entertainment, music, dancing. And our bill was around $100 again. I actually don't understand the math on that because there were three adults. So maybe they didn't charge Pearl, but I also didn't pay the bill. Ben paid it. So now I'm realizing like, oh no, maybe I would have told them had I thought about it, but I'm so bad at math. I was just like, wow, 40% off. I didn't even think about it. Oops. I'm sorry, Disney. I owe you a few dollars, but I'm sure you'll get it from me in the future. It is so nice to get a bill back and be like, oh my gosh, I saved a lot of money, which isn't a feeling you get a lot at a theme park because they don't usually like this 40%. So again, I know we talk about a lot about like feel bad money and feel good money. This makes you feel so good when you realize how much you're saving when you're planning a trip, getting tickets, eating at one of these restaurants. It just felt so good to be like, oh, I got away with a little something. And I want that feeling for all of you. Again, now that I've said it out loud, I probably will be contacting MBI Mouseman Travel about booking a September trip simply because, oh my God, for like, I could bring someone to the park who doesn't have a pass for under $400 and we can have an entire week of fun. That's crazy. So again, when Disney has a discount, you gotta pounce. You gotta pounce. And we're gonna do one more hot take before we go to break. And that is that we simply must be bringing back room service. We must be bringing back room service. Now that I have tasted room service after a theme park day for the first time in a very long time, we need it back at Disney hotels. So much of my feed are people doing those nighttime routines in their Disney hotel room, you know, where they take all, they set up all the shots. It's like they come in and they close, they boop on the door, they close the door. They like get ready for bed. They get in the little jammies. They like get into the sheet, not a duvet, not a comforter, boo. In their Disney hotel, they turn on TV. They're snuggly, nighttime routine. I love those videos. But you know what would make it so much better? If they had a Mickey bar delivered to them. If they were doing that, maybe on like a casual morning and getting Mickey waffles delivered to them. Just give us the option to pay you a lot of money for food, Disney. Just give us the option. Give me the option to wait 45 minutes to 2 hours just to get a Mickey waffle. Like, please, please let me have room service back. Please, it is so special. They do it at Disneyland Hotel. They do it at Disney's Grand Californian. But I was fact-checking a bunch of stuff because post-COVID things are a little wonky. And Grand Floridian appears to be the only proper Disney-operated hotel that has room service. But even still, their breakfast starts at 7 a.m., which is madness. Like, you can't get a whole family to eat breakfast and get out the door for rope drop. And if the earliest the food will arrive, and you know it's never going to arrive right at 7 a.m., the earliest, because you can't order in advance, I assume, because they don't have, like, tablets and stuff, the earliest you're going to get it is a little after 7, not a chance. Not a chance. Apparently, Grand Floridian and then Swan and Dolphin, which is are like the only kind of Disney area hotels that have room service. And we need more of it. We need more of it because every time I know someone fancy who stays at Grand California and they post a cutie little Instagram and they have their cutie little Mickey waffles delivered to the hotel room, I feel envy. I feel envy because wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? We need more of this, Disney. Charge me a lot of money. I get it. But please. I'll save the money that I save eating at Beer Garden Monday through Thursday until the end of July, I will spend on waffles and send them to my room. Oh, a room coffee, whew, a hot coffee in the room. Oh, so lovely. And we used to have all of this and we don't anymore. I went stayed at Disney's Animal Kingdom and I got at Disney Animal Kingdom Lodge and I got like banana bread delivered to my room. Like, we just want it back. We just want it back. Just give us room service back. That's all I ask. And a bunch of other stuff coming up after this break. But also, a Mickey waffle arriving to your door when you're getting ready? Heaven. Heaven. I love mobile ordering, but look what it's taken from us. A Mickey waffle with a real fork in your room? Oh, bliss. As someone who desperately craves the praise I get at the dentist when I'm complimented on my flossing, thank you very much, we have to talk about something that's new and exciting to me and hopefully the same for you. Underbrush Remineralizing Gum from Nathan & Sons is essentially a different kind of chewing gum that helps your mouth feel clean, clean, clean in a way I personally have not experienced before. It's designed to be a simple oral care habit between brushing, especially, you know, at lunchtime, in the afternoon, but the texture is different. It's kind of like gum that's good for you. Underbrush is made with natural saps instead of a typical synthetic gum base, which is just a long way to say it has a very substantial, satisfying chew. It is super chewy. And if you're someone who, like me, also needs to like constantly have a little something during their day when they're working, it is the ideal thing. It supports enamel, it helps freshen your breath, it's a simple oral care habit that's actually enjoyable to do. But again, one more thing I gotta add is that it's weird we're only brushing in the morning and night. I consume so much food during the day. Every 90 minutes, I'm having a snack. And I'm very sensitive about the amount of plaque that's been in my mouth lately. I just feel like I need to be brushing more. I don't like my mouth feeling unclean. And Nathan & Sons offers a great natural alternative that boosts my oral care. Nathan & Sons also makes underbrush themselves from scratch in their California facility. Like, the team is small, they've only been around for a few years, they're packing orders themselves, and it's just nice to be chomping on a small business gum, not some big corporate gum. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. If you like to chomp, chomp, and chew, and care about your oral health, you're gonna love it. Welcome back. We are talking about my double dip Disney World trip. Ooh, that's a fun way to put that. Ooh, that sounds fun. Because I went to Disney World twice in a month and I got a lot of things to tell you. And this is something I have been saying, but we really got to include it. We really got to include it because now I can double down on it. Disney's Hollywood Studios is good now? I know. I just stood here just a few days ago on the mic saying it was basically a trash pit. But now it's like weirdly a great park for toddlers. I had a day free where I could have bought Pearl like an extra ticket. I know we had the 4-day ticket, but like I could have bought an extra ticket. We spent the day in the park. I would have had an excuse to. We chose to go to Hollywood Studios. We chose to go to Hollywood Studios because Hollywood Studios is now a friend to toddlers? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. How did we get here? And let me tell you, I have a toddler who started the day by saying, I don't want to meet characters. And I was like, cool, 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 cool. We're going to Hollywood Studios where there's essentially nary a ride for you. Like, none of these rides are for you. You can go on Toy Story Mania, but like, we're not doing that. You don't know how. there's nothing to do there except like sit and watch or meet a character. And my girl don't like to sit and watch. And yet we had an incredible day. We met oodles of characters because all of the characters milling about the animation courtyard area, now the Walt Disney Studios area, but that's confusing when you're saying it out loud without a picture because you think I'm talking about like the actual studio lot. There were just characters everywhere. She went from starting the day saying, I don't want to meet a character, to about 5 hours later, pointing at a child with an autograph book and saying, Mama, I want one of those. We bought her an autograph book and she got her first autograph. In the same day, she said, absolutely not, and yes, please, to the most extreme level possible. We were out here meeting a freaking super kitty. I don't even know what that is, but there was a bubble machine and we were dancing in the bubbles, and then all of a sudden we were in the line and she was running up to a cat and hugging them. That is how magical Hollywood Studios is right now. It is just an explosion of characters. It's the closest I felt to being at Disneyland on one of those days where you just see everyone. It was the closest I felt to that in a long time. We met Daisy. We met whoever that cat is. We got in line to meet Olaf because there was nobody in line. There was nobody in line. We hung out in Animation Courtyard. We saw Goofy, Pluto, Mulan. We also saw, I think it was Goofy or Donald, take part in like a very Disney's Boardwalk style like entertainment outside show. I think it was like limboing or something. I wasn't paying a lot of attention. It was very hot out. I was not focused. But there was just like, it was just an explosion of characters everywhere we went. And it really made the park feel so alive. We didn't go on a single ride. And I absolutely think we got so much out of that park that day. We did it all, had some snacks. We went to go see the Frozen show, the Frozen sing-along. Lovely. There was apparently an earthquake during it. Didn't notice. Like literally an earthquake during the minute that they were singing Let It Go at the end. And it's like fake snowing. Like wild. It was just a wonderful, wonderful day. Disney's Hollywood Studios is good now. And it's only going to get better because once they reopen the former Star Wars launch bay, there's just going to be so much more to do. And it's going to be so excellent. And like to have, again, I don't, we're not going to go too toddler-centric on this episode, but to be there with a child where it's like impossible to schedule anything for them. You're like, will they fall asleep? I don't know. Will they just conk out in the middle of the day? I have no idea. Being there and having no plans and just playing it by ear and chilling and enjoying our life was so freeing. Now, the one thing I am going to say, which kind of actually puts me in a pickle because I am going to be, I told you this, I'm going to be writing a story about how Hollywood Studios is a friend to toddlers, which I went back to be like, is this true? It is. It is a fantastic park for children right now. It is basically like just going, it's just like a character, again, a character explosion. It's insane. But part of the reason I was like, oh, they're fantastic is because they moved the baby care center over to Animation Courtyard, which means within two steps, you can go to shows, you can meet characters, you can do all this stuff that's kid friendly, all right there. So I walk into the baby care center being like, I love it here. And I say, hi, where's your toddler potty? And the look I get from the perplexed cast member is one of confusion and shock. And they go, what? And another parent who has multiple kids who like, isn't. If you run into a parent, but specifically a mom, it's usually a mom. You're into a mom who has children of multiple ages. They will answer any question you have. There is nobody on this earth, on our planet Earth, who knows more about how to navigate a situation than a parent of minimum two children. If you have three children, you're an expert. If you have four, you're either like way too busy to talk to me and I wouldn't want to take any of your time. But if you have a few kids, a small gaggle of kids, you know everything. And so of course a mom of multiple kids was like, there's no toddler potty in that bathroom. There's like this, there's this, this, and there's no toddler potty. And I was like, of course, this mom knew. And I was like, how is there no toddler potty here? And they were like, I don't know. There's a toddler potty at the baby care center at Disneyland. Also like, what? You guys, this is a separate hot take. This is maybe like, we're gonna have to do 18 and a half. Again, I'm sorry to anyone who doesn't have to deal with this. Skip ahead 15 seconds, but it is unfathomable that we are at a family-friendly theme park and there's an entire theme park with not a toilet that a child can fit on. I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense. That needs to change. Period. The end. But besides that, Disney's Hollywood Studios, I've enjoyed my time there. I've chosen to go back and spend time there. I never thought I would say that, and they have made it absolutely wonderful. Now, the character situations in Animation Courtyard, I anticipate will change once a lot of those characters are inside when they reopen the indoor space. But until then, it is thriving. It is bumping with characters, and you can get so much out of your day just by hanging out in that space. Another hot take that I want to talk to you guys about, you know, sometimes it's worth it to be a psychopath. Sometimes It's worth it to be absolutely unhinged. Because my husband, who, you know, is the calm one in the family, he is not, obviously not obsessed with the stuff the way that I am. He was like, we're just going to chill. It's going to be chill. We're going to have fun. It's going to be laid back. You don't have to worry about anything. It's just going to be a good time. And I was like, yeah, totally. Meanwhile, I had an entire schedule. Because when you are, and you have a full day at somewhere like Magic Kingdom, that's multiple booking windows. Like our Magic Kingdom day, I had to, in advance, figure out what time that we would need to do Harmony Barbershop, where we could wake up having adjusted for like East Coast, West Coast timing. Further on in the trip, we can maybe wake up a little earlier. So we're going to have to get a minivan to Magic Kingdom so that we're able to make it in time so we can get to the appointment. I got a 10 a.m. appointment, so let's build the day around that. We can probably get to Cinderella's Royal Table within an hour, but if the haircut goes badly and she has a meltdown, we have to wait a little longer and maybe we're delayed. Maybe she wants to like walk around after. We don't want to go right from activity to activity because that'll be too intense. So we'll do 11:20 Cinderella's Royal Table so we have a little time to move around if we want to say maybe squeeze a ride in. And then if we're booking Lightning Lanes, we should not book one between the haircut and lunch. That's too much. So we should book all of them in the afternoon, which does put us at a disadvantage. But as long as we can book Peter Pan's flight and Small World, we're pretty good because those are the main things we wanted to do. And I will schedule those immediately after lunch so that even if it expires while we're at lunch, because lunch will probably run long, then we can just go, we'll scan into Small World and it'll still last a little bit after the time that you're allowed to go. It'll, even though they say it's expired, it's not expired, you can still use it. So we'll do that. We'll go on Peter Pan. We'll go on Small World. Then we'll peel away and go on a roller coaster and my mom will take her on other things. That is what it takes to get a Disney day done. So while my husband was like, take it easy, take it chill, it's totally fine. You can only really have chill fine on a day like that when you have schedule, when you really want to hit certain things, if you do the planning. It kind of feels like when an actor becomes famous and it's like, well, they've actually been steadily working for 20 years. That is what a well-planned day yields. Because we had Magic Kingdom one day there, and it worked out great. But I kind of freaked out at 9 a.m. because I knew if we did not call a minivan by 9:05 a.m., a minivan can take up to 20 something minutes to arrive. So I knew that if we didn't call it by 9:05 a.m., then even if it took 20 minutes to get there, by the time we get in, we get locked and loaded, we get dropped to Magic Kingdom, we get everything out, we get through security, we get through the main gate, we couldn't be late for this haircut. It was cutting it too close. And I was a psychopath from about 8:45 till 9:10 a.m. I was not nice that day, but you know what? I set us up for success because the dominoes broke our way. They all fell our way. And this thing can happen at Disney when you are planning. I keep kind of relating it to Plinko. It's like things can Plinko, you know, like the game, like Plinko. You know Plinko. Oh my God, is anyone young listening to this not know Plinko? Anyway, when it like boing, 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 like if things break the wrong way, your day can be bad. But if things break the right way, it is bliss. And you set up for success and you try to do everything you can to make sure the day breaks the right way. And that day broke the right way. We got it all done. In one day without trying too hard, we didn't even wake up early. We left after 9 a.m. We left our hotel after 9 a.m. We did iconic barbershop appointment. We had a full character meal. We did Small World. We did Peter Pan. We didn't even use our Winnie the Pooh Lightning Lane because Pearl fell asleep. Ben and I went on Tron. We went on Space Mountain. We got so much done. And then afterwards, my mom and I went on Carousel of Progress. We did everything we wanted to do in Magic Kingdom. Bing, bang, boom. No issue. And it's because I am a psychopath, and sometimes it's worth it to overplan because you can always peel away plans, but you don't want to be standing in the middle of Magic Kingdom being like, it's our one day here. There's a lot of stuff we want to do at this park. My kid wants to meet a princess. I want to go on a roller coaster. You guys want to go on Small World, and we can't get any of it done. Mm-mm. Sometimes it's nice to take it loose and free and easy like we did at Hollywood Studios, but for those big days, you got to be scheduling, and it sometimes is worth it to be crazy about it. But something I did learn on this trip that I never thought I would say out loud, I almost don't even want to say it out loud now. Maybe park hopping is bad? Maybe park hopping is bad. If you only have a day or two at the parks, that's the only way you're going to jam it all in. But maybe it's better to just do more at one of the parks. Because we spent every night of this trip back at the hotel. Every single night. I mean, we did go to the Noah show one of the nights. But what I'm saying is that we didn't go to the theme park at night at all, period. And while it did make me a little antsy in the middle of the trip, it was somewhat restorative and nice. Not having to be like, get out the door, second location, let's go, go, go. Not having to do that was blissful. Not having to like go from sweaty day to sweaty night was nice. We could just come back and like recalibrate and hang out and relax and then like be refreshed for our next day. It was kind of nice. As much as it pains me to say that, maybe park hopping isn't always worth it. Like, maybe it's just nice to be like, today is our Epcot day, and that four park ticket is what forced me to do this. And I weirdly kind of loved it. Then again, that perspective maybe because I really wanted to just go see Fantasmic one night and it was just not coming together and it didn't happen. But I bet if we did it, I would have been too strung out to go on with the rest of the trip. So maybe park hopping is not great. It's also more expensive. On a short trip, it makes sense. But otherwise, if you have time, maybe I don't need it. Maybe I don't need it as much. Another thing, a reflection. And this isn't really a shocker to any of you. But after staying at two different hotels, after doing a lot of different transportation to these parks, I've never hated a Disney bus more. I've never hated a Disney bus more. And this does differ from what I said earlier about loving non-bus transportation. Similar vibe, but different. It's like fraternal twins. I used to always like look down on those non-Disney hotel buses. You know what I mean? I'd see a coach bus coming and I'd be like, oh, those are the other hotels. Like, oh, they're picking them up at like the reject lanes. You know what I mean? Like they have the Disney bus lanes and they're like, oh, other hotels, whatever. Just pull up down there. It's always further. It's always like off to the side. It's just like, oh, just go over there. It's not like the real Disney hotel bus lanes. And they used to be like, oh, I'm going on the Disney bus to my Disney hotel. But oh my gosh, a coach bus beats a Disney bus every single time. And I know some hotels that operate coach buses to and from the parks, they make you tell them in advance that you are taking the bus. Like when I partnered with Caribe Royale, like I know their buses to the parks, you have to reserve. Like you have to tell them you will be on this bus there and this bus back. For Four Seasons, we didn't have to do that. There was a schedule in advance. They emailed it to me before I got there. I had it on my phone so I could be in the park and be like, oh, we're not going to make the 2:15, but I bet we can make the 3:15 back. To know exactly when that bus is going to be there gives you, on both ends, at least 30 more minutes of your vacation. Because I know, like, they post it in your room, whatever. Like, no. Like, even if you're checking the app, like, no. Like, if you're staying at a hotel, no. You're still panicking about it. You're still panicking because the bus can come and you'll be waiting a long, 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 long time. But, like, knowing the buses were so punctual, they were like European trains. They were, boop, on time. And it was so good that I realized, oh, I don't hate a bus, necessarily. I hate a Disney bus. And the coach bus setup for having a child with you was so extraordinary because carrying a stroller onto a bus should be illegal. It takes up too much space so then other people can't sit. You're trying to like hold this big object to make sure it doesn't fall on people. They pack the buses with standing room because they're designed like city buses, which is like not good for anyone. You shouldn't be like holding onto a bus and in like the dark night just hoping you don't fall over. Mm-mm. Coach bus is comfy, air conditioned, lovely. It has made me look at third-party Disney hotels in a completely different way to the point where I'm like, oh yeah, I may want to stay somewhere that I didn't consider before simply because they have this easy breezy bus getup to get to the parks. It was so much better. And like just knowing when the bus was going to come, was so good. And this ties into my next point, which is that I am bad at everything, but brilliant at Disney World. I don't know what it is. I have extreme time blindness. I did not wear my Apple Watch today. I didn't know where I was all day. It could be 3 hours later than I think it is right now, and I would never know. I just have no grasp on time. It's an ADHD thing. It's how my brain works. However, I excel at time management at Disney World to the point where I looked at the bus schedule, okay? I looked at the bus schedule and I knew when the bus was gonna be there. I knew how long it takes to do things. I know in my bones how quickly I can walk. And we were literally entering Guardians with our Lightning Lane single pass, entering Guardians. And I said to my mom, we will be out in exactly this many minutes. I need you to be at the exit waiting for us because we are going to have to walk quickly to get to the bus in time. I was so good at my timing that I, in the first, like, you know, not the pre-show, but like the room you wait in before you go into the Terry Crews room, like in that room, I looked at Ben and I said, we will be out of this ride. I'm going to say 3:52. And I would have been like, literally, we are not even in a pre-show. And I just knew, I looked at it and was like, 3:52. We're going to be out by 3:52. Because he had a work call at 4. 3:50, like we were on the ride at 3:48. And we got held in the station for a while because I think someone puked at the exit. I think someone puked at the unload station. So we were held in the station for an uncomfortable amount of time. Literally, we were in the seat, front row, ready to go, being like, oh, this might not happen. Like, oh, this plane may not take off. And like none of the people working on the ride would look at us, which is, we were like, oh no, that's a bad sign. When the flight attendants won't look at you, that's a bad sign. Sitting there waiting. And we did eventually go, which, oh, thank goodness we waited and planned and plotted and did everything together and we couldn't go. It would have been so sad. But we were there. And so like we ended up pulling in at like 3:56 or 7 because we waited so long, but I would have been correct. I would have been absolutely correct. And what was so great, to tie it back to buses, is that I knew, like, we were cutting in really close for when we had to be back, but I knew because of the schedule, because it was organized, because I had it, I knew, like, if we walk as fast as possible, we can get there in time to get on the bus. We got there, the bus was there 3 minutes later, left almost immediately, and we were back so quickly. So, again, I don't hate a bus. I've never hated a Disney bus more, and I'm also really good at Disney timing. If you saw the video from when I went to Epcot for 35 minutes, I got so much done so quickly because I just, my brain works in that environment. We walked into the park and I was like, okay, we have to leave at exactly this time to be able to call a car, to be able to get back at this time. I was like, we have to be back by 1 o'clock. We were back at 1:01. We were back at 1:01. And I just knew it in my bones in advance. I knew exactly how long it was going to take. Didn't check a Google map. No. I just knew in my bones because I'm bad at everything, but I'm brilliant at Disney World. Speaking of, this is a little bit of a weird hot take, but we're going to go with it anyway. The best way to enter Epcot is via Uber to Beach Club, period. Period. The best, most efficient way to enter, Beach Club. Get dropped at Beach Club. You can get dropped at Boardwalk, but it's always a little chaotic there. And the fact that you have to go like in and then down and you have to take the right, I don't know. It's not the same vibe. I want to go to Beach Club. I want to cut through that small lobby. I want to take a left. I want to see the view on my right. See everything, see all of Boardwalk, see the beach and go, oh yeah, baby, I'm home. Then I want to do, walk past the Skyliner and go right in the park. It is the best way to enter, period. And they may give you a hard time in the morning because they know what's up. But when I've gone like mid-morning, I've been like, no, I'm here for beaches and cream. But we went midday and there was no issue. It was no issue. We were fine. And it was so easy to get in and out. Related, the best way to get to Magic Kingdom is minivan dropping you off at that first spot on the bus loop, heaven. It is, as you know from my other trip, it is the only reason we got to see Starlight Parade, is the only reason we got to see it. I almost said Starlight, Starlight, oh my God, anything with a star in it. You guys know this from whatever, that was the Epic Universe coaster. Yeah, anything with a star in it, Starfall, Starlight, my brain cannot remember it. But yeah, the best way to get to Magic Kingdom is minivan or monorail or boat. Boat, depending. Boat from Grand Floridian, nice. Boat from Wilderness, kind of a long ride. You sometimes stop at the Contemporary, it's a lot. But monorail from like Grand Floridian, ooh, that's nice. Just a little bit of monorail. I didn't really monorail this trip and I kind of miss it. I did last trip. We got a lot of monorail in, but I miss it. Anyway, not into a big ferry boat. I took it once when it was like winter outside. My parents were like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, maybe I like the ferry. I don't like the ferry. The best way to get to Disney's Animal Kingdom is not minivan. I can tell you that. I forgot the minivans drive through the bus loop and it takes so long to get into that area. Way longer, I think, than actually going through the regular parking lot, even though there is a wide turn into the parking lot. But the best way to get to DAC is not minivan. I'd say anything else is pretty good to get to DAC. It just feels like it takes so much longer. Going 5 miles an hour feels so much slower in a car. And for Disney's Hollywood Studios, Uber or Skyliner, that's the best way to go. I don't know why, I just feel it in my bones. But as much as all of this is true, nothing beats parking a car at one of these parks about like 90 minutes before it closes. Pulling in, they're usually not, at the end of the day, they're not even at the booth. They're not even charging. And even though I get free parking, it is nice to just go, yahoo! And just like Mario Kart your way through. Then most people have left. So there's a bunch of free spots. You're not being directed into the last row. You are in control of your own destiny. You can choose where you park most of the time. And it's just nice to roll in. It's nighttime. You get a good spot. It's not as hot out. Boom, you're in. Nothing beats parking somewhere between an hour and 2 hours before they close. And speaking of minivan, not a hot take, just something I feel. Feel good money and feel bad money may have been the smartest thing I've ever articulated in my life because it comes up almost daily in my conversations. And I'm curious if it's the same for you because there is something about Disney that when you spend money, it either feels good or feels bad. Now, if you haven't listened to older episodes, you may not know what I'm talking about, but this is a realization that I had after getting a $8, I think it was maybe $9. It was so expensive. Was it 10? might have been $10. I got a very expensive latte at Cake Bake Shop, but I savored it and I enjoyed it so much. And it felt like such a special indulgence and a really, really fun treat. And that is basically the same amount of money that I would spend on a Mickey pretzel, which would just be something that we would eat because we're hungry and need to get food in our body. Feel like I would buy that Mickey pretzel and be like, this is so overpriced. I'm so annoyed. I remember when this was $6.25. I would be bitter about it. That's feel bad money. But the same amount of money, can give me so much joy, feel good money. And I'm always trying to chase feel good money wherever I can go. Our minivan to and from Animal Kingdom. Listen, we needed a car seat. We had a tight window to go to Animal Kingdom. The bus schedule, we didn't make it down for the bus there. We didn't make it out in time for the bus back. It was a whole mess. We minivanned both ways. Animal Kingdom, Roar Hotel, Animal Kingdom, Animal Kingdom back. It was, I don't even want to tell you this, but Ben was like, we're just doing it. Just deal with it. Just move on. It feel extreme feel bad money. It was, I don't even want to tell you. Okay, don't judge me. He made the decision. I was like, start running. We're going to catch the hotel bus. And he's like, I'm not running. I will pay. I will do the minivan. It's fine. It was $60 each way. Hotel to Animal Kingdom, Animal Kingdom and back. We spent more on minivans to and from Animal Kingdom than we did on like a single day of admission for him to Animal Kingdom. Nothing feels that bad. Okay. Nothing feels that bad. I don't know why it was so much money. It must be the distance, because we were basically in Magic Kingdom area. When we took one from our hotel to Magic Kingdom, which is, I knew that was the only way we were going to get there in time. The Four Seasons hotel bus, which I'm inferring that everyone knows, but they don't. When you have a third party hotel bus, the only buses that can pull up to Magic Kingdom are Disney's buses and minivans. If you are taking a third-party bus, an Uber, anything else, you go to the ticket and transportation center, and then you have to ferry or monorail your way in. We simply did not have time for that one morning. I knew that was an expense that I had planned for. We were going to take a minivan the morning to go, like the big morning of the haircut, the Cinderella's Royal Table, we were going to take a minivan. That one was $42. That is an amount I'm comfortable with spending for a one-time drop-off for a very big special day at the Magic Kingdom to make sure that none of us are waking up and upset that we're up early. Like, that was an expense that I thought was worth it. $60 to go to freaking Animal Kingdom to just fart around? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Feel good money and feel bad money is the best way to ever explain what any of this feels like. Because minivans are so helpful, especially if you need a car seat. If I was a regular person, I would be taking the cheapest Lyft possible. Anything under $10 and I'm tipping a lot and we're good to go. But we need that car seat and it's just so tricky. And like, I just don't get it, you guys. So like, on one hand, minivans saved both of our trips. There's a video I'm going to post, which I'm scared to post because I don't want people to yell at me and say that I'm obnoxious. But like, the key to going to Disney World with a toddler is to spend money on minivans, because you need to go. You're not going to be on a schedule. You're on their watch, okay? You're on their time. You're doing whatever they want to do. And the only way to get somewhere if you can't go by bus and you don't have time to waste is a minivan, because they can pick you up and take you all across property and they have car seats. It's just easier. And like, you're always in a pickle when you need a car seat and you don't have your own car and there aren't buses available. But why does a minivan to and from the airport cost $249? Like, I appreciate a minivan because of the car seat of it all and because it's easy. But why would that cost $249? That's feel bad money. You can get a Suburban with car seats for way, way less. You can get a gigantic van for way less than that. I really need to do like an airport transit guide with all the companies I've used, and not just to rag on mirrors for taking 2 GD hours to get us from door to door. But like, feel good money, feel bad money is the best way to explain this. And a minivan has saved me many times, but listen, that $60 trip, it kind of ruined it forever for me. It ruined it forever for me. I don't know if you can hear my child screaming in the background. I hope not. But I do want to get into a few kid things real quick, which, listen, beloved child-free listeners, do not leave me yet. I promise there's still worth to this podcast. I'm just going to go real quick. There's some kid stuff. There's one for you at the end. Don't worry about it. But two quick things. It is so true what they say that you they say it and I can't. You never take the same kid on the same trip twice. You never take the same kid to Disney World twice. I think that's the best. You know what I'm trying to say. Why can't I get a word out? Anyway, you never take a kid on the same trip twice. You never take the same kid on a trip twice. You never take the same kid on a trip to Disney World. I'm going to short circuit. I feel like a broken record. You know what I'm trying to say. I took my child twice within 4 weeks, and it was a completely different child. It was a completely different child in every single way possible. Before, she simply would not nap. This trip, fallen asleep in the stroller. Before, strung out, desperate to watch TV, like didn't want to be in the parks. This trip, so content in the park. Wanted to do everything. That trip, could not get her on a ride. I could not get her on Frozen Ever After. And I was like, girly, this is your jam. This is your jam. You love this. I had her walk me all. I had lightning lanes. Like the reason I took her on that work trip is because I was like, we're going to have lightning lanes for certain stuff because I'm going to have access to it because I have to see it for work. So I was like, come in the lightning lane with me. If you don't want to go on, it's fine. Just like come up and say bye to me as I leave. Thinking she'd be like, bye bye. Oh, wait, I want to come. I want to come. Didn't come on. Said goodbye to me and then was like, bye, and walked away. This time, got her on every ride. This was a different child from the other trip. It's like both trips were completely different. Her priorities were different. Her interests were different. Last time, she did not want to go in the pool. This time, she wanted to go in the pool. Like we literally started out with her being like, at home, being like, I do not want to go on the Frozen ride. Every day, it would be like, don't make me go on it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to make you go on it. Dad wants to go with you, but I won't make you go on it. This time, not even an issue. I don't know, but it is so true that you never take the same kid on the same trip twice or whatever they say because I can't remember the words. It is very, very true. Another thing, and again, if you don't have a kid, keep listening. I got one more for you. I got one more for you at the end. I know you're probably not counting, but this is only number 17. The more organized the stroller, the happier the parent. Period. I don't like bending down and digging for stuff. I don't like it. I don't like going, hold on a second. I don't want to do that. I want my cup holder with my coffee. I want my stroller caddy with my water in it. I want everything accessible. I want to know where all the heat stuff is. On the side, I got sunscreen. Like everything is boom, 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 right there that I need. And if I need anything else, like it's raining, I'm going to bend down. Otherwise, I'm not bending down. And having the stroller locked in brought me so much joy. Having the stroller packed, ready to go to bypass security, Again, I've been here half the month. I know how to get through security. With your stroller, you got to put your big bulky stuff in the side sling or in the stroller caddy. You got to put in your fans, your umbrellas, your sunglass cases, the things that set off security. I did not get pulled aside by security one time this week. One single time. Never got pulled aside. And that is a huge accomplishment for me because I packed so much stuff and I just knew how to do it. Mesh pocket, all the bottles, all the stuff, like the neck fans, the things like that, those all went there. Didn't have to carry them through. Went through, bing, bing, boom. They hand inspected the stroller. Everything was great. Boom. The more organized the stroller, the happier I am. And last but not least, this is a revelation, okay? This is something I never thought I would say. I'm a little scared to say it, but my mom is always right. My mom is always right. My mom's listening and my mom is always right because I'm going to say it. I'm going to declare it. Maple popcorn in Canada is better than caramel popcorn from Germany. And I know. I am ride or die Werther's, and I still am. But I gotta tell you, the maple popcorn in the Canada Pavilion at Disney's Epcot theme park will blow your mind. I had it twice, and it twice this week, both times, excellent. I also had caramel corn. I did not eat the caramel corn. I had a few bites. I threw the rest out because by the end of the trip, I just wanted to eat the maple popcorn. I don't know what they're putting in it to make it so sticky. I mean, it is maple, but I know they're not just like dumping maple syrup on popcorn. I don't know how scientifically they're getting it to be that sugary coating and not like so, it's not wet. Whatever it is, I don't know what they're doing. Whatever they're doing, it is good. And on my birthday, when we went to Epcot for 35 minutes because I'm mentally ill, I just needed it. I literally needed a taste. My mom got popcorn for us and she was like, oh, I'd love the fresh batch. I'd love it to be hot. It was boiling hot. We could barely hold it. This is a good thing. It was boiling hot. And then when we ate it, there were these strings of like crystallized maple. And it was one of the most delicious things I've ever had in a Disney park. And it just delivered. It delivered. And if you have not had the maple popcorn, I'm not really going to talk about the caramel one anymore because I actually think the maple is better. My mom is right. It is better. And you can get it as a refill in a bucket. So like you're saving money and you're having a better time. That and there's a Joffrey's nearby. There's so many Joffrey's. Like I walked in International Gateway and then I took a left. There's a Joffrey's. And then I kept walking, got maple popcorn. And then I kept walking to Mexico. There's another Joffrey's. Like I was drinking a Joffrey's being like, should I get another Joffrey's? Like the Spider-Man meme where they're all pointing at each other. Joffrey's everywhere. I love it. That's how I love to live my life. But the maple popcorn, better than caramel. She was right. She was right. Those are all my hot takes of my trip from spending half a month at Disney World. Can't wait to do it again. Honestly, going back to look at September dates because of those $400 tickets, like anyone who hasn't been and wants to go, you got to. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions about my trip, about the hotel, I have way more to share about the hotel, but we will get into it probably more on social media. Let me know. I just love Disney World and I love doing this podcast and I love all of you. Okay, thanks. Bye. Becky, imagine if there were just no more deals and then people were just listening to us chit chat. It's never going to happen because there's so many freaking deals.
We never have just downtime, do we? Because there's like four more things we have to talk about right now because Disneyland is still running. They're save up to 15% off on select stays at the Disneyland Resort hotels. These are Sunday to Thursday nights, all the way from now through September 7th. And those are standard and premium room types, 15% at Grand Cal, Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel, and save up to 10% at Pixar Place Hotel. They're also running a ticket offer there, which I know has been really popular. You and I have talked about this several times, where it's the kids' summer ticket, and those are kids 3 to 9, $50 per child.
And it's park hopper. Do you know, Becky, I spent 2 hours doing the math trying to figure out if I should get my child an annual pass or just go exclusively over to summer to buy these tickets, because $25 per park is wild.
That's insane. That to get in and park hop, or $25 per park is usually the park hopping alone. If actually, that's
it's crazy.
So it's a no-brainer is what we're saying.
Yeah,
it's definitely a no-brainer if you want to do that. A brand new offer that just hit today is from Aulani. That one is going to be save 30% on select stays of 5 nights or more. And this is really cool because a lot of times these are on just their standard views. Then it also includes their partial ocean and ocean view rooms as well. And the villas too.
Ooh.
So it's great. So 5 nights or more for 30% off, 4 nights or more, or 4 nights or less at 25% off. And that's going to be valid for most nights, October 19th, all the way to December 23rd.
Wow. So, Wow.
You can plan in advance. And can you imagine just the weather, how it's going to be in December or late November?
Oh.
So last but not least, I want to mention that we have an exclusive offer only available through us with Royal Caribbean right now. If you book a suite or balcony on any 3-night or longer Caribbean or Mexico or West Coast sailing, even departing August 1st to December 31st. So you got a big window there. Get free specialty dining experience for two.
Ooh.
So that's exclusively available through us. You book through us and you get that little benefit.
It's like a friend buying you dinner. Thank you so
We're
much,
all
Becky.
About perks around here.
I know you really are.
All about the perks. Thanks for having me. And I'm sure I'm going to put my head down and find the next match for the next time.
Oh, I can't wait. It's so good to see you.
Hi, Carly. My name's Shelby. I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. My family is about to go to Shanghai Disneyland in about 3 weeks here, maybe 2.5. And I just had two questions. The first one is, we have one family member who's plus size and would really like to ride Tron. I'm wondering if they have that same accessible back row that they have at the Disney World Tron, because I think that would make it a lot easier for her. My second question, is there anything, little tips, tricks, things to see or do that wouldn't be obvious that we shouldn't miss out on? We have the eight attraction fast pass, or whatever they call it, for the first day we're there, and then the second day we're just going to fly by the seat of our pants. So if there's anything we need to see or do, please let me know. I love the show. Thanks so much. Bye.
Hi! Thank you so much for calling. And I got to say, hearing your Canadian accent live and well was thrilling. Me here in America being like, oh, tell me more. Oh, I just love Canada so much. And I love my Canadian listeners. So hello to all of you. Now, I haven't been to Shanghai in a minute, but I'm still able to answer both of your questions. And I'm very, very excited to do so. Now, for your first question about Tron, as you all know, well, not all of you, not everyone knows the intricacies of ride vehicles in Magic Kingdom, but Tron at Magic Kingdom does have more chair-style seating on trains in the back. They have, like, the motorbike-style seats in the front, and then there are options to sit just like a regular chair. In Shanghai, I remember they did have those. I have this like very vivid memory of the Lopez twins being there for the opening and sitting in those because they were obviously too tall to sit in the motorbike. That was before we knew each other. So wow, it really has been a long time, like 10 years, right? Wow, that's wild. Anyway, I double checked just to make sure that those are still there, and they are. They are on some select trains, and I actually stumbled across a thread where someone was wondering the same thing, and they were advised by people in the comments to show the ride operators a photo of that chair seat. So if you like look online for, you know, basically like Tron regular seat, standard seat, not the motorbike seat, you can find a photo, like any photo of anyone in it, and showing them at the front might be easier to communicate that you want to be using that chair and not the motorbike vehicle. I would just save that on your phone so you have it and so it's ready to go and you're good. Second thing, the FastPass style like Premier Access stuff has changed since I was there. So I did double check to see what the Premier Access 8 is. And I'm pretty sure from looking at this that you have purchased priority access to Buzz Lightyear, Tron, Zootopia, Roaring Rapids. Oh, I loved that one. Soaring Over the Horizon, Pirates of the Caribbean, Peter Pan's Flight, and Voyage to the Crystal Grotto. You're going to have a blast. But the one thing I'm going to tell you to do is that you gotta do the challenge trails at Camp Discovery. I'm seeing that it is on a certain set of Premier Access 6, so there is some sort of Premier Access to it, which means the standby line will be longer. However, challenge trails at Camp Discovery is something that has not previously existed in any theme park, and I would bet never will again. I mean, at a Disney theme park, like never will for as long as we live. It is so rad. Like you're truly doing one of those kind of zipline things where you're like, you know, you have like the rope and you're like, like trying to get through and walk around. You're doing that. But like, there's one path that leads you to the side of a waterfall. Check out YouTube videos of it. If any exist, when I went, you had to put all of your devices away, but I'm sure with those like Meta glasses, somebody has a video of it somewhere. Someone's like wearing a phone or a GoPro or something. It is so cool. It is just so cool. And it's just so Shanghai because I just remember walking around being like, never would we have this in Florida. Never would this be an attraction they build in Florida. And it's so unique to the park and also so fun and like a little scary and exciting. And I just also really, really like being in a theme park in a foreign country and doing something that is very emotional, like the Rapids ride, Roaring Rapids. Like one of my favorite memories from the Shanghai Disney opening is that I was sitting in a raft with a bunch of people who didn't speak the same language, and we were all like screaming and laughing and giggling together in unison. And something I really like about the challenge trails is that like you're scared and you're like, ah, you're scared to go and it's exciting. And that's a universal language, even though you are in a country very far from home. So I love that so much. I think that is really like the main thing I'm going to highlight to you in the park. I have not been to Zootopia yet, but please check out the puppets for me. Tell them I say hi. And I hope you have a absolute blast. But yeah, Challenge Trails is going to be the thing that I recommend. And make sure to check out all of the furniture in the Pirates area. I'm blanking on the name. Adventure Isle, I think is what it's called. Because my friend Rachel, who has been a guest, who also we have an episode all about Zootopia. You should listen to that. All about the Zootopia Hot Pursuit attraction. Listen to that episode. I will put it in the show notes for you. Rachel did a lot of the furniture for that area and she's a close friend. And so I always like to be like paying tribute to her benches and things. But yeah, check that out. Yeah, that's it. And if they still have that Minnie Mouse ice cream bar, it's like strawberry with white chocolate. Ooh, don't miss out on that. Don't miss out on that. Have so much fun. And let me know if you do the challenge trails because honestly, like core memory. Have a blast. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening, and wow, I really like having my voice back. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's really nice. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts. You can rate and follow us on Spotify. And if you haven't already, definitely check out last week's episode with Drew Taylor. I just think it's really good, and I want to make sure everybody listened if they haven't already. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS. Keep those calls coming. And if you're thinking about planning a trip, looking into that $400 ticket deal, making a Disney cruise happen, you want to save some money, reach out to MEI, Mouse Fan, and why do I do that every time? Why do I always say reach out to the URL? Reach out to MEI Mousefan Travel at mousefantravel.com/amusing. Mousefantravel.com/amusing is your gateway to the perfect Disney trip where someone will plan all of it for you and then you can look incredible to your family. Did you see that TikTok going around where it's like a woman sitting down with a whole stack of paper for her entire family? She's trying to educate all of them on what to do. If you work with MEI Mousefan Travel, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to spend hours and hours and hours of your life making a freaking presentation to show your family to like rope drop and eat at a restaurant. And also some of her information was incorrect. She said, talk to concierge. And I think she's at Caribbean Beach. And I went, ah, but you know what'll help you out of that pickle? Mousefan Travel. Mousefantravel.com/amusing. They will book your room. They will get your tickets. They will arrange everything. They will give you advice. They will save you money. They will do it all. And I can't recommend it enough. If you want to do HHN, if you want to do cruise, if you want to do Universal, if you want to do Epic Universe, any of it. Also, Epic Universe has fireworks now at night. Gotta be checking that out. I mean, starting in early July. I think it's July 7th is the date off the top of my head. Early July. We'll save that and then we're safe. Anyway, I don't know why I'm like giving notes. I'm giving like sidebar Google Doc notes to myself live in the recording. Doesn't matter. MEI Mousefan Travel is your best bet for your trip. Mousefantravel.com/amusing. I love them. They love us. We all love each other. It's love. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Join the FOMO link at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel and subscribe to my Instagram. Honestly, because there is a single person who subscribes to me on Instagram who tried to help me with an issue and referred me to someone at Meta, we are trying to get into the subscriber issue. So if you've tried to subscribe before and it's waitlisted you, hopefully we'll have a solution soon. I emailed them last week. I'm not going to follow up too much because they are very busy and I do not want to annoy them, but there is a chance a solve is coming. If you are able to subscribe, honestly, like everyone else I see who has a subscription, I'm always like, how much is theirs? Theirs are all $4.99 a month. Not here, baby. We're running a dollar store discount because I'm giving you more than 99 cents of fun every month, but I don't want you to feel, $2 feels like a lot, you know? $5 a month is crazy. That's like half of a low-end like streaming service. But 99 cents a month, I feel really good about. I'm posting almost every day. There's a lot of fun there. And it's just like a dollar. Like, I don't like taking money from people. But like, it's a dollar. It's like adding a flavor shot to your coffee. It's a dollar. I think the price is good. I think it's a good time. There's a bunch of us. We'd love to have you there. Check it out on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon. Oh my gosh, I love having my voice back.
Hey, honey, this was so good. I really enjoyed listening to Drew Taylor. He is so funny. He is not a disappointment. I burst out laughing. That's so not true, but it was funny. I can't believe that he has not been on your Very Amusing podcast until now. I can't believe that. I had no idea that Drew writes books, and he writes about theme parks, an animation expert, co-host of Light the Fuse, and he started the Mission Impossible podcast, which became like the number one. Why is he not talking about this stuff? You have to have him on again. He was so great. You have to have him on again. Okay, that was so much fun. I love you so much, Carly, and I love you so much, Pearlie, and I'll talk to you next week. This was a great episode. Bye, honey.